So it's really cool to just like figure out how can we be more in tune with our bodies, because our bodies are messengers.
It was like my body was being emotional for me.
The menstrual cycle is kind of thought of as a vital sign now.
And I just felt a sharp pain, like someone was stabbing me in my stomach, and it was excruciating, and I didn't know what it was.
Their stories may not be exactly the same, but they say, hey, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone in this.
This is Your Body, Your Story, a podcast by Flo. I'm your host, Mina B. I'm a writer, a licensed therapist, and I'm also a woman who menstruates. How are you feeling in your body right now? Settle in, take a deep breath. What does it feel like to be you in this moment? Every body is different, and the way you feel about your body can change day by day or even hour by hour. And that's okay, because your body remains uniquely yours. The conversation I had with today's guest gave me a lot of aha moments that have affected how I think about my body and self-image. We talk about body neutrality. It's this idea that our bodies can change, our feelings around our bodies can change, but every day we respect our body, or at least try to.
Body neutrality came to me, and it was just like, I felt like the clouds parted and the angels started singing, and it was like, oh, this is a new way to consider and think about your body.
Bethany C. Myers uses they/them pronouns and is a sought-after fitness instructor, LGBTQIA activist, champion of body neutrality, and founder of the Become Project. We talk about fitness, pandemic weight, and periods, of course. Hi, Bethany. Thank you for being on the show today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So let's start off with body neutrality. How do you define body neutrality for yourself?
I think with body neutrality, you know, most people are used to hearing body positivity. And I always try to make it very clear when I'm having this conversation that I'm not trying to knock body positivity. Like, I think body positivity has gotten us to incredible places that we were not 10 years ago. And the body positive movement really came from Black women of size. They brought us different ways that we could talk about our body. And then we started seeing more bodies represented across the board. So I think that's really incredible. Body neutrality, the way that I love to describe it, is that it's kind of the idea that, sure, some days you love your body, some days you hate your body, right? That's completely normal to have mixed feelings about your body on any given day. But every single day you respect your body. And it almost makes it less about the body. Body neutrality is like, hey, your body is not the most important thing. It's just a vessel. It's just a container. It's just the space that you live. And the most important thing is really who you are, how you feel, and how you operate in this world.
I love that concept. So I'm actually new to the term body neutrality. And hearing you explain it, I'm having like a bunch of aha moments, because I'm like, in a way, body positivity kind of just feels like, from my own personal perspective, that you have to be positive all the time. And if you're not positive, is the opposite body shaming,
right?
You know? And right. So I think that's so great, because there are days where I'm just like, I don't feel that great today, and it manifests through my body, but then it passes. It's just like anything mm-hmm. in life where we feel many things.
You know, the first time I heard body neutrality, I was like, oh, no, like it was like, gas, this is so wrong. I can't feel neutral about my body. And I come from a lot of eating disorders, body dysmorphia, something I really, really struggled with for many, many years in my life. And body neutrality was kind of my savior in this, because as I was trying to heal, I started trying to go the body positive route, right? I was either failing at body positivity or was body shaming or whatever. And there just became this really nice moment where I could look in the mirror and be like, no, I don't feel great today, but this body has gotten me places that I never thought it would get me before, right? And society has told me that my body is the most important thing, but I know that it's not the most important thing. And it just really became this place of comfort and of acceptance. And that is really the reason why I'm so attached to the word and why I literally created a business surrounding it.
Well, that sounds really informative and awesome and so educational and insightful. What were the steps that you took?
So I want to start by saying my body neutral journey is still incredibly active right now. And one of the first things that I did was I threw away my scale and I stopped weighing myself. I have not weighed myself in, I don't even know yet, probably over 4 years, maybe longer. Excessive weighing is something that was part of my eating disorder in the past. And this scale can only measure your like gravity pull against the earth, right? Like that's the only thing that it measures. It doesn't account for bone density. It doesn't account for where you may be in your cycle. It doesn't account for what you just ate or if you're wearing shoes or not, right? Like there's so many different things that can affect our weight. And it also doesn't measure happiness. And I think sometimes we can be at our thinnest and also at our saddest. And so our weight is not an actual measurement of health. Giving up the scale was a super, super liberating act. Another one is buying clothes that fit my current size, not buying clothes that fit a dream size or a past size. Over the summer, I bought an outfit for something and I sized to my real size, okay? And it was like kind of a nerve-wracking experience doing that. Made me feel a lot of things. Definitely had to practice some body neutrality in that. But then everything fit. Like I ate and my stomach didn't hurt. The zipper around my ribs wasn't gouging into my ribs. And I had this really weird moment where I was like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to wear clothes that fit my body. But, you know, it's okay to take up space and to fill out the clothes that you are in.
So I still own my scale and I haven't gone on it probably in like 8 months.
Yay, good
and
for
it's
you.
Interesting. Yes, right. And it's interesting because it's all over social media, pandemic weight. And I found myself slipping into that idea and I was getting on the scale and I'm just like, but what is this going to do for me?
Yes. It can make or break your day, you know? Right. And it should not have that power.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I love how you said too, like this is still a journey. And anything in life, we're all still journeying. What would you say this journey is like for you on a day-to-day?
It's definitely gotten easier, but I'll give a personal example here. I had my first fitness shoot since the pandemic. And all during the pandemic, I've been like, gaining weight is normal during this time. We are experiencing global trauma. This is part of it. And then I got on set and I'm like, in the sports bra and in the leggings and cameras are on and I didn't feel good. Like the feelings, right, that arose were very mean. I was being very, very mean to myself. And I had this moment in the shoot where I like could feel myself tearing up and I'm like, okay. I went to the bathroom and I called my spouse and they said something to me that really resonated. And they were just like, this is a part of it. These are the moments that you prepare for. It's okay, right? It's okay to have those feelings. It's okay to experience it. Just let it be there for a moment. And then when you go back in, go turn on some music and do a little dance and get the job done. And that's exactly what I did, you know? And I'm not saying that I walked back in the room and then all of a sudden everything was perfect, but I did go back in the room and was like able to at least put the feelings into a place where I could make sense of them. It's really normal to have those moments. And what I think body neutrality does is it helps us find ways to cope with those moments.
Yeah, I love that. I always say to myself when I'm engaging in anything that feels uncomfortable. Like, am I coping or am I harming? And I love how you just said, like, I'm being mean to myself, because that's emotional awareness. And a lot of the times when we're engaging in self-criticism, we have to meet ourselves with self-compassion. And that's exactly what that looks like, with recognizing this is what I'm feeling and how can I engage with this feeling and not let this feeling beat me up, but how can I talk back to it? And by recognizing I'm being mean to myself, would I say this to someone else? So why is it okay to say it to me? And I love that so much, because it's really all about embracing and acceptance. And to shift into this next question, how does body neutrality help you accept and embrace your identities as non-binary and queer?
Okay, I'm going to try to keep this question contained, because I have so many thoughts on it and I don't even know that I can truly verbalize them. But there is something really beautiful about body neutrality and then thinking about being non-binary or gender fluid or even gender neutral, right? And I always think of it as sort of like blurring the lines a little bit. We've always been put into boxes. The world lives in boxes. Like, are you gay or straight? Are you black or white? And at the end of the day, we're all so much more nuanced than that. I think with body neutrality, there has been a letting go of my exterior that has very much bled into a non-binary identity of also letting go of that exterior, because I present to the world very much like a woman, but I know that how I feel is so much more nuanced than that. I actually think probably if a lot of people started like getting into gender theory and thinking about themselves and how they operate in their life, I think a lot more people would be like, I'm non-binary too. Like, because we're just so much more multifaceted. So both with body neutrality and gender fluidity, I feel like it's offered me more freedom to exist just as myself, right? Like, don't have to be body positive. Don't have to be body shaming. Don't have to be all woman. Don't have to be all man. I can just be me. Just be me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And so when did you start to realize you identified as non-binary?
The non-binary piece, you know, it happened over time, and it's interesting because like I have very specific moments where I was like, oh, I'm queer. And I feel like the non-binary piece almost kind of slowly crept up on me over time. It was about 3 years ago. But more than anything, I think I was really sick of being put into a box as like, you're a woman and therefore you should dress like X, sound like this, have shaved armpits and shaved legs and long hair. And, you know, like, no. And then the more I started to study gender and like what gender really is, and maybe for those of you who are listening who aren't quite as versed, but one of the best ways to think about gender is that there's three different pieces. So there's your gender assignment, which is, you know, what you're given at birth. The doctor looks in between your legs and says, it's a girl. Then there's gender expression, which is how you outwardly appear or choose to dress. And then there's gender identity, which is how you feel. And those things can be different from one another, right? The assignment at birth is, for me, is not necessarily my gender identity. And when you think about gender that way, it's just so much more multifaceted, as opposed to like, gender, you're a boy with the penis or a girl with the vagina. Like, there's so much more ways that we actually feel and experience gender.
Do you feel like this plays a role in you experiencing your body differently in any sort of way?
I think so. I mean, what's coming to mind right now is it's very common for people who have experienced eating disorders to also have experience of gender dysmorphia, specifically those who are assigned female at birth. Because essentially weight, right, like female bodies, the boobs, the butt, they just hold more fat on their body. So somebody who is born into a female body, socialized as a female, gaining weight for them may make them feel more womanlike. And so I know for me, I think that's definitely part of why my eating disorder developed, was a desire to be thin in order to present more masculine. This gender fluid, non-binary term to relate to has made it easier to just accept the body as a whole.
What do you feel like some stigmas are surrounding non-binary people with periods that you would like people to just engage in learning and unlearning?
Yeah, well, I think language surrounding menstruation is really starting to shift, where it's not just women who have periods, right? And when I say this to people, a lot of times it does not make sense right away. So when I say women, I'm talking about their gender identity. And so there are trans people who are assigned female at birth, who identify as a male, who still have the reproductive parts that give them a period. And one of the reasons why this is so, so important is that trans people have a much harder time getting healthcare, right? Can you imagine if you looked on the exterior like a man, but you need to go to a gynecologist? There's like a serious lack in healthcare and in places where trans people can go and be safe and get the type of care that they need for their body. And I think one of the little things that we can do to be more inclusive to people is to think about that language when we're using our conversations. So it's not just like period products for women, it's period products for people. You know, this product is for people who menstruate.
It's really important, but also it requires educating ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so I even thank you for being gracious enough to educate us on this platform. And I hope people continue to do this work offline as well, even outside of listening to this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times with language changes, people get really scared and they tend to feel really defensive right away. It's almost like, I know how to speak English. I've spoken all my life, and now I'm trying to use they, them pronouns, and it doesn't come naturally to me. And I'm trying to say this simple statement, and I can't get it out. Even like, you know, sometimes I'll still be like, oh yeah, women with periods or whatever. And I'll say, oh no, people with periods. You correct it and you move on. And that's actually how you get better at it. That ends up pushing us forward.
Yes, I totally agree, Bethany. And I also like to approach certain conversations with like, am I committed to being right or am I committed to learning? Our ideas of wanting to just be right all the time is just causing harm and it doesn't give us the ability to grow and evolve.
Yes.
You know, so thank you for sharing that. How does your period affect your body?
Oh my gosh. I feel everything. I could talk about periods all day long. I've been tracking my cycle for, I believe, like 6 years now. And tracking has really, really taught me a lot. I think everyone should track because it's incredible what you can really start to learn. I know, especially early on, like when I was coming out of the eating disorder and I finally started to have regular periods again, which is something I didn't have for a while. But kind of during that time when I was still excessively weighing myself, it started to help me to know that like my weight changes throughout my own cycle. The more that I could get in touch, like this is my body actually doing what it is designed to do. And so I feel like it's helped me become more aware of what is actually going on in my body that is bigger than me.
Our last question for today is, I'm curious to know, what are some lessons you have learned from your journey to a self-acceptance?
It's not perfect. However you think it's going to look, it's probably going to look much different. And so being aware of that and being open to that, I think is a really, really valuable thing. And also that no one has it figured out. No matter how good it looks on Instagram, no matter what people may say, I think across the board, none of us really have it figured out. The goal is that we figure it out together, right? And we grow together, allowing yourself that grace and compassion.
Thank you so much, Bethany. This has been such a great conversation.
Oh, thank you. I loved getting to chat today.
That was Bethany C. Myers. You can find them on Instagram at Bethany C. Myers, and they are the founder of the Become Project, which is at the Become Project on Instagram or thebecomeproject.com.
That's all for this episode of Your Body, Your Story, a podcast by Flow. Thank you so much for listening. Bye for now, and sending you lots of love.